Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today we're here with Knut Grimsrud. Knut, you're a fellow at Intel. Tell me what a fellow is.
It's somewhat a distinguished engineer, I guess. At Intel, there's two different career paths. There's an administrative path that leads up to the vice president track, and there's more of a technical track that concentrates on technical achievement, and that ends up at the fellow level. So a fellow is kind of a technical VP, if you want to think of it as that.
And you're also the director of storage architecture, and our topic today is challenges and opportunities for non-volatile memory and platforms. Can you define non-volatile memory for us?
Sure. Non-volatile memory is memory that is persistent across a power cycle. So, for example, when you store your Word document, that document stays after you turn the power off. And so non-volatile memory is the class of memories that have that attribute, that they retain the data even after the power is lost.
Now, Intel's been talking about something called the Robson Flash Controller. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. It used to be called Robson Technology. It now has its product name, which is Intel Turbo Memory. And Intel Turbo Memory is a non-volatile disk accelerator that basically makes use of flash memory as a cache for the disk drive. But caching using DRAM obviously doesn't have the benefits of being persistent. With a non-volatile cache, you not only have your working set already established in your cache, even across power cycles, but you have the benefits of being able to absorb all the writes that go to the disk without committing them to the disk. So you can have the cache be a write-back cache and still be power fail-safe and realize the acceleration benefits from both read caching and write caching.
And what products do we see this technology on today?
So the Intel Turbo Memory has been announced as a part of the Santa Rosa platform, which is a mobility platform. And we thought it made the most sense to introduce Intel Turbo Memory in that segment because we think we get the largest benefits from the technology there. In laptops, there's not just performance that we care about, but there's other vectors as well, like power efficiency. And with the non-volatile caching, we realize benefits for both performance and for power. Now, we do expect that over time, the technology will find its way into nearly all Intel platforms, and we expect it to become a ubiquitous part of the IA platform.
Where is your team focusing in terms of next innovations on this technology?
Well, there's two primary areas. The first area is in the area of industry standards. We spend a lot of time defining industry standards in the past for disk drives. My group did a lot of work on serial ATA, which a lot of people are now very familiar with. But more recently, most of our industry standards work is focusing increasingly on the flash areas that haven't really had a lot of the kinds of standards that the more mature disk markets segments have. And the second area is that my organization develops core technology for Intel storage subsystems like Robson, as well as for the new solid-state disk drive program. And so those are fundamental technologies for the storage subsystems that then later find their way into the Intel products.
So tell us a little bit more about that solid-state memory.
Yeah, so the solid-state drive is a program that I run in my organization, and it's initially focused at the high-performance mobile segment, but the technology is also suitable for high-performance compute segments as well, including even some low-end server applications. And so the solid-state drive program actually makes use of a lot of the innovative algorithms that were originally developed for the Intel Turbo Memory program. And that program pioneered a lot of the new NAND management algorithms that allows us to realize some very nice performance out of NAND flash. Traditionally, NAND flash has not been seen as being particularly high performance. In fact, I think in the area of writes, NAND has the reputation for being slower than a disk drive. So one of the benefits of the approach we're taking is in reusing some of the learnings from the Intel Turbo Memory program, we've been able to find ways to manage the NAND that gives us very attractive performance attributes for both the reads and the writes, which is the more difficult part to get right on the NAND SSDs.
Where do you see Intel's vision for the future of storage technologies?
I think that the first thing that's going to happen in the future in this entire space is more standardization of some of the key building blocks that these subsystems are made from. Some folks may not realize this, but previously there was not even a industry standard for the interface that was on the NAND flash itself. And so if you wanted to make a NAND flash controller, you would go look at the data sheet for the particular NAND you wanted to use, and you'd design your controller for that NAND. Well, the NAND technology is moving very quickly now, and there's new NAND parts that come out on a regular cadence. Plus, sometimes, vendor A might have the most attractive NAND, and other times vendor B might have the most attractive NAND, but A and B didn't have the same interface. And so it made a very substantial engineering problem to create a NAND controller that would work with the variety of NAND flash, because there was no uniform standard for what the NAND flash interface would be. And so I see that the core building blocks that are used to create solutions here, there's going to have to be some standardization for the interfaces to them. Now, the implementation for them certainly won't be standardized, because that's where the innovation is. But the interfaces between the building blocks, those are where the standardization is actually beneficial to the industry, because it actually permits each individual building block then to innovate within those defined boundaries and create the best mousetrap around.
It sounds like it accelerates innovation.
Yeah, I feel that having standardized interfaces accelerates innovation, because it allows the different building blocks to be developed independently of each other. And it also allows a degree of interchangeability, so that whoever has the best controller can be matched up with whoever has the best NAND, and you can actually build solutions that are very nicely optimized.
Are there any performance efficiency benefits associated with these technologies compared to what we're using today?
Yeah, that's actually one of the major benefits for both the solid-state drives and for the Intel Turbo Memory, is the energy efficiency. They're not just lower power to start with, because they're non-mechanical. Disk drives have motors in them and so on, which there's a limit to how energy efficient you can make a motor, and there's a limit to how much you can scale a motor as well. And so they're inherently lower power to start with. But there's a secondary effect that makes the power efficiency even greater, which is that the performance that we can deliver is also higher. And so we can reduce the duty cycle that the device is active. So, for example, with a high-performance SSD like the one that we're developing, a particular workload might take half as much time to finish, in which case the system can then enter a lower power state more quickly, and you not only save the power of the SSD itself, but you actually get secondary power savings in the platform that may be even greater than the power savings of the SSD itself, because now your CPU can enter the low power state, and of course that's many more watts than
right. The
SSD is in the first place.
So these solid state disks and the NAND technologies that you're talking about, are we heading towards driveless PCs at some point?
I absolutely see a scenario where you'll have PCs that have flash only. It'll first happen in laptops that most value high portability. And so you can imagine the ultra-sleek laptops, where today maybe they use 1.8-inch disk drives because of the smaller form factor and the lightness and the portability. Those applications will probably see a flash-only solution first, because they most value some of the attributes of flash, including the ruggedness and the small form factor, so on. And some of those applications might not require the high capacity that disk drives provide. Another trend that might also lead more towards a flash-only kind of a laptop might be if the availability of a high-speed connection between your laptop and your offline data store improves. Maybe you don't have to have all of your data locally, because you have access to it remotely, and so you don't have to be quite as big a pack rat.
Having everything on your individual PC.
Yeah, you've become accustomed to having everything there, even though you don't strictly need it.
So the ubiquity of connectivity really drives a decrease in the amount of local disk space that you would require.
Yeah, it certainly makes it easier to not have to pack everything with you.
Well, Knut, thank you for being with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the program, and we hope to hear more from you in the future on non-volatile memory technologies.
Yeah, thank you very much, Allison. It's my pleasure.
We've been with Knut Grimsrud. He's an Intel Fellow and Director of Storage Architecture. Please join us next week for another edition of Chip Chat.